101.9 rocks.
Good afternoon and welcome to 30 Years of Nonsense. I'm Sherry and this is
Terry
Doherty, and we are here to share more of our story, more of our memories through music, and more of our nonsense with you all today.
Yeah. Hey, Sherry, how you doing?
I'm excellent, thank you. We drove here together, so you know that.
Yeah, I know, but it's been a long week. I gotta be honest. I've been up since 3:30 this morning.
Yeah, we've been up bright and early. Today, we're going to introduce some new parts of ourselves that we haven't necessarily shared yet through a couple of different genres of music that we both have keen interest in, and I'm gonna go first. So I am going to share with you all our love of country music. And sometime around 2019, we went country, and this was before we moved to Kingston, but I have early memories of the first kind of country songs that started to hit with me. I also thought back, though, when I was preparing for this and realized that country music has basically been in the soundtrack of my life for my entire life. I remember it being the 1970s and driving to Florida with my parents, listening to Ring of Fire on their 8-track and songs like D-I-V-O-R-C-E before I even realized what any of that meant or what country music would come to mean to me. I rediscovered country music, like I said, around 2019, and the first songs I remember falling in love with were Chicken Fried and Love Story by Taylor Swift back when she was considered primarily country, and she's now more of a pop crossover now. And then hearkening back to what we spoke about last week of my love for Dolly Parton, she is an unapologetic person of faith, which I also strive to be as well. So one of the songs that I've picked to showcase today is actually called Heaven by Then, and it is by Brantley Gilbert and Blake Shelton and Vince Gill. The interesting story is that these songwriters and music artists were just sitting around actually quite late one night and having conversations like old boys do, as they like to say. And one of them said, "Man, I hope I'm in heaven by then." And the other one slammed down on the table and said, "Damn it, it's 3:00 in the morning. How can you say a line like that to a bunch of songwriters and not have us start writing?" So that's where the interesting title came from for this, and the interesting story behind it came. Basically, it's about these old boys being old souls and feeling like the world is kind of running off and leaving them behind. There's things that they enjoy in life like hunting and fishing, and they basically are saying if there ever comes a day where these things don't fit in the world, then they don't want to be a part of that world anymore. And that really actually resonates with me in a lot of things that Terry and I talk about, because the world is moving and changing very quickly, but we do like traditional customs and we worry about lots of things that are happening in the world. And some days we actually also shake our heads and say, "Wow, when that all comes to pass, we hope we're in heaven by then."
Yeah. And I mean, it's funny because there's also, they were talking about Red Dirt Road, right? Getting paved over.
Yep.
And I mean, I lived in the South with our son for a little bit while Kieran was racing in his amateur career, and everything was a red dirt road. So it's funny, and you don't think about it because up here, the dirt's dark and brown and stuff, but down there, it is really a red clay, and it's funny. So when I hear all these country songs about Red Dirt Road and Red Dirt Road this and that and the other thing.
Was it Route 68 or Route
66?
Route 66 you talk about all the time, because yeah, you've actually been on Route 66?
I've been on both the new Route 66 and the old Route 66 both ways, going back up and down across the entire Midwest. So I've traveled. I actually got to my 49th state earlier this year.
Yeah, you've almost been to all of them.
I've got Hawaii, and then I've hit all 50.
We're getting to Hawaii, babe.
Yeah.
I don't know when, but we're getting to Hawaii.
But it's funny, though. It's just like when you talk about like hearing these country songs, and I mean, I'm not a massive country fan, but I do like some pop country, as I'm going to call it, actually call it cross country.
Right.
Let's be honest.
And if you listen to Y2K on Sirius,
yeah,
it's all music that
you can resonate with, stuff,
and
right?
It's all enjoyable. The old country gets a little sad.
Yeah, a little twangy for me.
A little twangy and a little sad, but anything that's on Y2K on Sirius XM is excellent.
Yeah, and I used to have a guy that worked for me when I was first DJing. I don't know if you remember him, Neil Barrett.
Nope, Samet.
Samet.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, Neil, and I mean, shout out to Neil. I don't know where you are in your life or whatever, but he came to a bridal show or something. I met him one time, and he actually worked for me for about a year or two singing first wedding songs.
He was so good.
He was really, really good.
We should Google him and see what happened.
Yeah, we should actually. That'd be a really good look up to see where he's at in his life and see if he's still doing music. Actually, I'm going to play a a Neil Sammet song. Not next week, because we're having in friends from work next week, and they're going to play live in studio. So that'll be really cool. So, yeah, Finn and the team, they're all coming in from friends from work. But Neil Sammet, we will look you up, find you, and kind of play your song. But yeah, so sure, finish out your country stuff. As soon as you started talking about that, it's nostalgic for me, because I think about the time when Kieran was little.
Right.
And living down in Florida and Georgia and kind of traveling around on those red dirt roads.
Well, one day we will have to share the stories of how you have driven to Vegas multiple times.
11.
But and how you got to Route 66. And then the attached story about how I resonate with flyover states.
Yeah.
Because I flew over them all and met you in Vegas.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a story for another day. So for why sure. don't you go ahead and play Heaven by Then by Brantley Gilbert, Blake Shelton, and Vince Gill.
When number three is just a number, and Hank is just a name, when trucks don't sound like thunder, and nobody prays for rain, when you don't hear yes sir, yes ma'am, or Jesus on FM, hell, I hope I'm in heaven by then. No, I don't wanna go today, but I don't wanna live down here at a place that thinks that that place don't exist. There comes a day this country somewhere country don't fit in. Hell, I hope I'm in heaven by then.
When they pave all the dirt roads and John Deere's are dinosaurs, when the last back 40 gets old and young boys don't open doors, when you can't hunt a whitetail and keep what you reel in, well, I hope I'm in heaven by then. Well, I don't want to go today, but I don't don't exist. If there comes a day this country somewhere country don't fit in, well, I hope I'm in heaven by then.
Don't let me go now.
If I don't wake up tomorrow to a world that I don't know, y'all don't cry for this old boy, it's just my time to go. And I don't wanna go today, but I don't wanna live down here at a place that thinks that that place don't exist. If there comes a day this country somewhere country don't fit in, hell, I hope I'm in heaven by then. Hell, I hope I'm in heaven by then.
That's a great tune. Thank you so much for playing that. What are you bringing to the table today, Ter?
What's funny, it took me a long time to think about what I really wanted to do this week, because I was really stuck on what's the song for me. I got to be honest. And I've come up and I've decided that I'm going to do all female artists from okay. my catalog.
Well,
or from
you
what
like
I like.
Females.
I do. Sorry.
You do.
Yeah. But anyway, the first one that really comes to mind for me is Tracy Chapman. So I don't know if we've talked about this before, but I actually listened to her entire anthology of music, or entire just her whole book of music every week.
It's your lawn mowing song.
It is my lawn mowing song. So it's funny. So I listened to just a full Tracy Chapman playlist for four and a half hours every Saturday or Sunday when I cut the grass. And I don't know why, but I've been doing it for at least 14 years.
All right.
And it's the same songs over and over, which is crazy.
Maybe you know where you are at in the lawn based on the song.
No, because I hit it. I mix them up every week.
Oh, do so you?
I,
yeah, just yeah. hit shuffle?
So, yeah, I do. I shuffle it up every week, so it's never the same.
See, I listen to it in the exact same order, as you know. So I know where I should be at the lawn at a certain point in time.
Yeah, no.
But you're not.
So I don't even cut the grass in the same order.
That's true.
So that would be crazy as well. So I literally put it on and I hit shuffle twice. So it reshuffles my shuffle. So it's never the same. And it's crazy. So, I mean, I really love Tracy Chapman. So let me tell you a little bit about her. She's born March 30th, 1964. She's known it.
That's my birthday.
You know.
You didn't know that.
March 30th, 1964.
Okay, so she's a little older than me, but it is March 30th.
It is your birthday,
you
yes.
You should have like highlighted that or something.
Listen.
Maybe that's why you like her so much.
Maybe. It might be. May have something to do with that date. So anyway, she's a singer-songwriter, an American singer-songwriter, and she's wildly known for two big hits, right? So she had Fast Car in 1985, and then Gimme One Reason in 1995. So literally 1988 was Fast Car. And it's funny because, again, when I started looking up stuff about Tracy Chapman, I realized, again, all of these artists have one thing in common. They start performing super, super young. So these super talented artists that I adore seem to be starting super young. She actually gets a ukulele when she's 3 years old and starts performing and writing songs. So she starts playing and writing songs at age 8.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. And she was first inspired to play guitar, and you're going to love this, from the television show called Hee Haw.
Oh, I had to watch that.
Yeah.
When I was a kid.
Yeah. So this is kind of funny. So when she's a kid, she
also
gets this.
Also, her parents made her watch it?
Well, her mom did because her dad and her mom gets divorced when she's 4. And then she basically gets raised by her mom. And she goes on. She obviously has a great childhood. There's nothing, you know, anything really that when I was looking at it, I mean, she gets bullied and those kind of things. But a lot of people did. But what's really interesting about it is she goes on to Tufts University, and she's in Tufts University, and she's actually at a radio station, and that's how she gets her first bit of music on the air.
Okay.
And how she does it is she agrees, because for copyright reasons, she agrees with the radio station, instead of getting paid, that they're going to give her airtime to play her songs, which I think is really, really cool. And I mean, a friend of hers that she actually meets in university, his father's a big producer, and he sneaks one of her CDs out of the station and gives it to his dad, and his dad ends up signing her.
Great.
Yeah, it's really, really neat. So, it talks a little bit about her busking near Harvard Square and the Red Line, and her first real performance is in Boston at the Strand Theater. And that's in May 1985. So, I mean, she's been going at it at that point. Like, she's 19 at this point, right? No, 21. She's born in 64. She's 21 in 85. But anyway, I mean, this guy hears her playing, and then he passes it on to her, his dad. And it's an amazing, I think it's pretty cool. Like, when somebody can find you like this, you're just playing your stuff. And
well, it was before the days of YouTube, and social media, TikTok, and all those things. You had to actually be discovered.
Yeah. And in 87, she signs with that record company. It's called Elektra Records, right? Cool. So it's pretty cool. And then she releases her first album in 88, and it's just called Tracy Chapman, right? And it was an acclaim. It's basically where her entire kind of fan base and everything starts from. And Fast Car, like, becomes a huge sensation at that point. And I mean, we all talk about Fast Car now because Luke Combs has re-recorded it, and it's really, really neat. She's performed with all sorts of different people throughout time, and Fast Car, in August 27th, 1988, is number 6 on the Billboard 100, which is really cool. Right. And then Rolling Stone ranks the song 167 in their top 2010 list for 500 greatest songs of all time.
Sorry, did it never make number one?
Well, let me tell you,
please do.
Right. And then the follow up song, which is Baby, Can I Hold You? It releases at 48. So she does get a little bit, you know, going a little bit more. She's doing better. And then this album that she has goes multi-platinum, wins 3 Grammy Awards, and she actually gets the honor of Best New Artist in 88, which is kind of cool. And then she's featured in the worldwide Amnesty International Human Rights Tour, and it's her second album, unfortunately, called Crossroads. Doesn't do as much. Anyway, let me tell you one kind of cool thing about her. She actually performs for Nelson Mandela.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So that was kind of cool. I mean, checking that out. Maybe how about I just play this song? It's called Talking About a Revolution.
Sure.
It's one of my favorites. I do enjoy listening to it every week when I'm cutting grass.
Excellent.
Don't you know that talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper? Don't you know that talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper? While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds whisper. Poor people gonna rise up and get their share. Poor people gonna rise up and take what's theirs. Don't you know you better run, run, run. Talking about a revolution. Yes, finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution. Oh, no. Talking about a revolution. Oh, while they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds a whisper. And finally the tables are starting to turn, talking about a revolution. Yes, finally the tables are starting to turn, talking about a revolution. Oh, no, talking about a revolution. Oh, no, talking about a revolution.
All right, Sherry, I hope you like that, and I hope everybody else liked that as well. So let me just finish up on Tracy B. Chapman, and then you can talk about your next favorite artist. So what's cool about this is that song actually peaks in 1997 at number 3 on the Billboard Top 100 and goes platinum, so which is kind of cool. Now, I said I had a couple more facts about her. What's really neat is in 2018, she actually sues rapper Nicki Minaj over copyright infringement. And it's kind of neat. It's and I like listening to the or reading about this kind of stuff. So she actually sues her over Baby Can I Hold You. So she samples that and it goes to trial. She actually takes it all the way through the courts.
Good for her.
Yeah. And the lawsuit alleges that Nicki Minaj had engaged in copyright infringement by creating a song, Sorry. And by distributing it, she gets an injunction, and she goes on. She apparently, Chapman has always, always declined anyone from sampling her songs, ever and for always.
Okay.
So the first part of the lawsuit, they say it wasn't infringement. It was called fair use. So it constituted fair use, just using the sample, mm-hmm. But not copyright infringement. However, the judge rules on the second count of the complaint that does go to trial. And it's funny, in January 2021, the dispute gets settled because Nicki Minaj pays Tracy Chapman $450,000.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of neat. And then we talked about her songs going number one. What's really interesting about it is Luke Combs' version of Fast Car, it went number one.
But hers didn't?
Hers doesn't.
Really?
But
here,
yeah. So here's an interesting. So it goes number one on the country charts. She's not a country artist.
No.
But on the country charts, because he's a country artist, it goes number one in July 2023, which makes Chapman becoming the first Black woman to score a country number one with a solo composition. And then she also, in November 2023, she becomes the first Black woman to ever take home a CMA award, winning Song of the Year for Fast Car. Because it's her song, right? She owns it.
Mm-hmm. Which Did she write it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's her song, right up, straight up. I mean, it's pretty cool. And then in February 2024, everybody watched this because the CMAs were really cool. I remember watching it with you. She performs it live with Luke Combs.
Yeah, very cool.
Which was really cool. I mean, she had one. She had 8 albums through her entire career. I mean, and I looked up so many awards, and you're going to yell at me for talking and talking. So
I am going to.
Yeah, yeah. Soon. So I will stop. But if you want to find out more about Tracy Chapman.
Ask Terry.
No. Honestly, go look her up. She's so interesting. Anyway, Sherry, what else you got? What do you got today?
All right. Well, I'm going to switch gears and share with everybody another facet of us. I don't think that we have shared it yet, but we are absolute fans and lovers of theater and Broadway. So we have seen almost every play. We sat down one day during the pandemic and made a list of plays we'd seen just because we were bored. That's what you did during the pandemic days. And before the pandemic, we actually had a Mirvish Theater membership. So
yeah,
we saw all of the shows that were at Mirvish in Toronto. We have often seen theater in both actual Broadway in New York and in Boston. And I have a funny story to share with you about us seeing it in California.
Yeah. This is funny, actually.
So in the category of nonsense, and I'm using air quotes, Terry and our son, Kieran, were in California for a race. Like we've alluded to, our son used to do that. And Terry phoned me one day and said, oh my goodness, you're not going to guess what I just did. And no, I never guess what Terry just did. But what he said to me is that he just scored Hamilton tickets because they happened to be in LA the day that they were being released, which is all cool. But that means you have to go to LA to actually see it.
Yeah.
So it was very thoughtful that you bought me tickets to Hamilton for Christmas or Mother's Day or something like that.
Christmas.
It was Christmas. But that also meant we had to actually go to LA. So you had simple decision decided that we as an entire family were going to LA for Christmas, which was not in the plans or in the budget.
Yeah, no. What's kind of funny about the whole thing is we were literally sitting in the hotel room and we're about to pack up and take the bike and in LA and anywhere in the US. We always keep the motorcycle actually in the hotel room for safety reasons so it doesn't get stolen. So we're sitting in the hotel room and Kieran's about to move the bike out of the hotel room. And I said, oh, dude, hang on a second. And I had rented a car as well. So we had our van down there in our car. And I said, let's just go downtown LA. I have something. I had saw a commercial while he was out of the room and it was for tickets for Hamilton. And I was like, well, this is great. They're going on sale this morning at 10 o'clock. Let's go get in line.
Which was awesome.
Yeah.
And you knew at the time Sarah Marie and I were obsessed with Hamilton. We actually drove to Florida. Another story for another day, but she and I drove to Florida when she was going on a Disney exchange. And we timed our entire trip by how many times we could listen to the Hamilton soundtrack. And so I have vivid memories of driving through Jacksonville on about the third time around on the Hamilton soundtrack, but that's what it took us.
Yeah.
So to go back to that story, this 1 week unexpected trip that we are now taking to LA for to see Hamilton because you impromptu bought tickets actually turned into a Doherty nonsense trip. And we've had lots of those. And I'm not kidding you. You can't make this up. We actually drove from Kingston to Nashville.
Yep.
Stayed in Nashville for a couple of days, saw a couple of trips or a couple of shows at the Grand Ole Opry.
We did.
Then we drove on to Florida because we were actually supposed to be spending some
holidays.
Christmas with some friends.
Yeah.
Then we arrived with our friends, stayed a night or two. Then we flew from Florida to LA to see Hamilton.
Yes.
I think we were there for 48 hours or something just to see the play.
Yeah, we were there long enough that we went and saw a play and Kieran and Sarah Marie actually went to a all night Metro Boomin.
I don't know.
Somebody was playing live, but it didn't start till 1 in the morning, and it went till 4 a.m.
Yeah, that was well beyond me.
Yeah, yeah. So I literally had to drop them off downtown L.A. at 1 a.m. and then pick them up at 4:30, 5 a.m.?
I don't know.
It was crazy.
It was crazy. Just part of the whole thing. Funny story. I'll just take a side cut. But we always believe when you go to the theater, you should dress properly. Again, we're kind of traditional and old school. So when we go to the theater, dress properly. Terry and Kieran are always in suits and ties. And Sarah Marie and I are always in dresses and heels. We feel like it's something special and you should treat it as something. And we were walking down the street in L.A. getting ready to go to the theater. And I kid you not, this woman bus driver opened the door.
She stopped the bus and opened the door
to holler at us that we look beautiful and more people should dress like us when they go out in public. And we were perfect postcard what you should look like when you're going to the theater. And she wanted to tell us, well done.
Yeah, it was really wild.
It is a funny story.
It is kind of funny.
Anyways, we saw the play, which was fantastic. If you haven't seen Hamilton, please see it. And then we flew back to Florida when we therefore then spent Christmas and New Year's with our friends and then drove home.
Yeah.
So your simple decision of purchasing Hamilton tickets
17 days
turned into a 3-week vacation, which was a ton of fun, but definitely falls in the category of nonsense. So going back to our stories, though, my origin of love of Broadway started very early. I think the first play I saw was Cats, and it was in the 1980s. And I thought yours was Miss Saigon.
Yeah, I saw it, but it wasn't the first one. I forget what my first one is.
You said Les Mis last night.
Well, yeah. No, Les Mis is the one I've seen the most. So I've seen Les Mis 7 times.
Okay.
I love Les Mis. Les Mis is a fantastic show.
They're all fantastic. Yeah.
And actually, the wedding I was at last weekend, both the bride and the bride's sister had performed in Les Mis at different times.
Oh boy, that's
great.
Yeah,
I know. I was waiting for one of them to break out in song. I was really disappointed. But it was really, really cool. And the actual bride's sister sang the song.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it was really, really cool. It wasn't that song, but it was really
good. So I can't actually tell you what my favorite Broadway play is. In my top list, I have listed Hamilton, Dear Evan Hansen, Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, Kinky Boots, Wicked. It goes on. I can't really
That's
pick.
A lot.
I love them all for a lot of great reasons. As I mentioned, we let our Mervish subscription go after the pandemic, but we actually are now big supporters of the local theaters. So we have some amazing talent here locally in Kingston. We have the Grand Theater, we have the Thousand Islands Playhouse, and we have the Domino Theater in Portsmouth Harbor. They're all great. We have amazing talent here. Just this past weekend, we saw
Murder for Two.
Murder for Two at a Thousand Islands. We also saw Liars at a Funeral, and we saw Mamma Mia.
Yeah, and it's funny. That Murder for Two kind of threw me. So just for 2 seconds, I'm just going to do a just scroll left. So Murder for Two is actually, it's a really cool show, but it's two guys performing 12 different characters. And what's interesting is one guy performs one character, the other guy performs 8 characters, and then they don't tell audience members, but they bring 3 audience members into the play unbeknownst to them throughout the show. They're not set up. It was really funny.
It took a minute to get used to.
Yeah.
All of us, my mom was with us, so Terry and I and my mom, and we were all like, for the first 5-10 minutes. But then after you got into it, it was hilarious.
Yeah, it was really funny. I mean, the one guy in the front on the other side, not so much. He slept through
there
the whole first
sleeping.
Act, which I thought was hilarious as well.
Also, the average demographic of age people there is probably at least 75. So it's not shocking because we were at a 2 o'clock in the afternoon matinee as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But it was really funny. So if anybody gets a chance and they want to see a pretty comical slapstick kind of thing, play.
I wouldn't necessarily say slapstick, but also Mary's Wedding is currently playing there. And I was just reading a review today. We haven't seen it yet, but apparently it is just emotion provoking and fantastic. Anyways, clearly Terry and I are very passionate about theater Tracy Chapman, and we've now spent half an hour of our show talking about these, and we need to play you some more music. So Terry's going to play one of my favorite songs that just lifts me up and moves me. And a funny fact about this one is I actually want it played at my funeral. So I haven't pre-planned my funeral, but I probably will because I'm very much a pre-planner. And in the meantime, while I'm on this earth, it is just a lift-up song that makes me feel like I'm unstoppable, and some days I need that. So he's going to go ahead and play you Defying Gravity, and we're going to play you the Glee version because that is the version that I like the most.
All righty, let's do that.
Something has changed within me. Something is not the same. I'm through with playing by the rules of someone else's game.
Too late for second guessing. Too late to go back to sleep. It's time to trust my instincts. Close my eyes and leave.
It's time to try to find. I think I'll try defying gravity. Kiss me goodbye, I'm defying gravity, and you won't bring me down. I'm through accepting limits, 'cause someone says they're so.
Some things I cannot change, but till I try, I'll never know.
Too long I've been afraid of
losing love, I guess I've lost.
Well, if that's love, it comes at much too high a cost. I'd sooner buy defying gravity. Kiss me goodbye.
I'm Skylar. Do you like music that sounds like this? Or maybe you prefer something like this? Well, come join me every Wednesday at 6 p.m., where 1 week I play folk, acoustic, and singer-songwriter, and the next I play hyperpop, electronic, and dance pop. The most indecisive show on the air, the intersection of folk and hyperpop, every Wednesday at 6 p.m. on CFRC 101.9.
Hey, what'd you think of that?
I love that song.
I know you do. Do you got any more to talk about on that one?
Oh, I have so much to say, but I'll let you go ahead because funny story, when we were originally planning for this, Terry kept saying, we need 2 hours. And I very much said, hold up, let's see if we can fill an hour first. And now every time we're into this, we're like, well, we have more to say.
Oh,
so
yeah,
maybe you were right and we need 2 hours. I don't know if anybody wants to listen for 2 hours, but we could talk for 2 hours.
Yeah, it's 2 hours of nonsense for sure. So I was sitting back, and when I was thinking about Tracy Chapman and kind of all the music and stuff that I really liked, I also thought, because I was talking to one of the guys at Hardway a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about a group called the Undertones, and Irish band out of Derry and stuff, and it got me thinking, I talk about, other than U2, I don't talk a lot about the Irish bands that I really like. And there's one that really comes to mind for me in the lady category, and that's, her name's Mary Black. And she does a lot of traditional stuff. And again, I went and looked her up and did all that kind of stuff. I mean, I love her music, but it's really interesting to kind of find out or dig into what they're all about. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know a bunch about Van Morrison, and we'll talk about him one day. And Christa Berg, Lady in Red, right?
Yeah.
Also Irish.
Everyone knows the song.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. And he doesn't sound Irish when he's singing, which I find really interesting. He has no Irish lull or no accent or anything that would give it away that he's a true Irishman.
Do you right now, but no, as you want to turn on your Irish accent, it's awesome.
All right. So anyway, Let's talk about Mary Black. I mean, she's pretty interesting. Again, she's born into a musical family, which is really interesting for me. Her dad's a fiddle player. Her mom's a musician. I think she's one of five kids.
If she's a good Irish girl, she probably is.
Yeah. She is. She had four siblings, right? And they live just in the south of Ireland. Her brothers and Shay and Michael, they're in their own musical group called the Black Brothers. And her younger sister, Frances, she actually has success in the 90s on her own as well. And it's kind of interesting. I mean, I look at Mary Black, and again, she starts really, really young. I mean, she joins this folk group. She's a folksy singer. And when I play it, I don't know if you hear it a lot, but again, I play it in the car when I'm driving, or I don't play it when I'm cutting grass, because that's strictly Tracy Chapman time. That's my time with Tracy. This band called they're called General Hubbard. I don't know what the name is, where it comes from. And I didn't do any research on that because it wasn't really important to me. But they release a few albums between 75 and 82. And then she goes on and she basically goes off and does her own solo thing in 82. And it's really neat. She actually, she performs really well in the Irish charts. And what she produces in 83 goes gold. And then she actually is honored by, it's called the Irish Independent. And she actually is referred to one of the best Irish albums that she produces for the 1980s.
Wow.
So again, like really, really neat stuff. I'm going to talk about the band Clannad down the road. Again, they perform with U2 and stuff in the 80s. And they were really famous for the movie One Left Foot.
Okay.
So, and stuff like that. So she goes on and she performs all over the place. And what's really neat, she has 11 albums in total in her entire career, and she's featured on the cover of Billboard magazine, and there's a story hailing her as one of the favorite heavy hitters from Ireland, and she's included with Enya, Sinead O'Connor,
wow,
Clannad, and Marie Brennan. And if you know anything about Irish music, I mean, those are the heavy hitters.
Okay.
And so I thought that was really neat that she's in there, right? So she's married. She's off. She's having her life. She lives with this guy named Joe O'Reilly. Not this guy, but she's living with her husband, Joe O'Reilly.
I live with this guy named Terry Doherty.
Yeah, you do. But they live in Dublin. And what's interesting is her son. She has two kids, or actually she has two sons, Connor and Danny, and a daughter named Rosalind.
Okay.
And her son, Danny, is actually a member of an Irish rock band called the Coronas. And her daughter actually performs under the name Rosalind O. So, I mean, her entire family, even her lineage, is still performing. So I thought I would play this song. It is kind of slow. It's kind of melodic, but it's going to give you the theme of some really nice Irish music. It's a little more traditional, in my opinion, than what you would typically hear from me. But I really love this piece, and I hope you guys do too. So this is called Farewell.
Farewell, farewell to you who are here, you lonely travelers all. The cold north winds will blow again, the winding road doth call, and will you never return to see your bruised and beaten son? Oh, I would if welcome I were, for they loathe me, everyone. The light to be.
You guys like that. That's really cool.
I did. It was definitely sad and melancholy, but that's okay because I actually have a great segue into other Irish type music.
Okay.
And we're going to talk today again about our love of Great Big Sea.
Yeah, I love Great Big Sea.
We do. So we discovered them together. And so we always appreciate and enjoy things that we've found together because then all of our memories that are around this music are together memories and not, you know, before Terry and before Sherry memories. And we love that. They have the same tone and vibe as the Celtic Kitchen Party that we featured last week as one of our local artists that we put the spotlight on. And I'm sure we've said it, but Terry was born and raised in Northern Ireland. And I also have Irish heritage in my background as well. So I have very early memories of listening to the Irish Rovers and music like that. Terry and I have an ongoing debate, and I know you're right, but let me make the joke anyways, that the Irish Rovers are actually Canadian.
Yeah, they're from Toronto.
But we debated it, and then you proved me wrong.
For about 2 seconds, and then we Googled it. And Dr. Google was right as normal.
Yeah, absolutely. But we discovered them. We were at a music festival, maybe Ontario Place or something like that, very young. Yeah. I think Summer was in a stroller and we were walking around downtown and stumbled upon this early music venue.
Yeah, early 90s. We were literally walking across.
Well, she was born in 96, so not too early.
Not early, but early mid-90s. Mm-hmm. And literally it was about 4 o'clock and we were walking along, I remember it, along the Esplanade, the waterfront.
Okay.
And I remember it vividly because I remember hearing this song and I was like, man, this is incredible. Like, who's this? And we walked down and there was nobody in the audience. There was a bunch of kids playing and dancing kind of in the front where, you know, if it was a mosh pit where lots of people would be, it was just kids goofing around. And we literally went down and sat in the first row with Sarah Marie and you and I, and we sat until they were done their set.
Yeah,
we said they were it's really, really cool.
They're really great for sure. So Great Big Sea is a Canadian folk rock band that are from Newfoundland and Labrador, and they're best known for performing their energetic rock songs that sound kind of like traditional Newfoundland folk songs, or sea shanties is the other word that they are called. They have had 11 albums certified gold in our country, and they're primarily made up of the members Alan Dole and Sean McCann.
Yeah.
So we saw Alan Dole. I think we shared that story already.
Alan Doyle. Yeah. Sorry. You call him Dole. That's all good.
We it's were just there. It was fun.
Yeah. It was good. It was.
We love that song. What was it? 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. Something. That was a great song that we were.
Yeah, Alan's got a great song.
We saw them at the Grand, or him at the Grand Theater, I don't know, later time of the pandemic because we had original tickets that our daughter had bought us for our birthday. And then that show got postponed 3 times. Because of the pandemic, but when we finally got there, it was very fun.
Yeah, the song's just called 1, 2, 3, 4.
Okay, it doesn't go on to the other numbers?
No, it just stops 1, 2, 3, 4.
All right, we'll have to play it sometime. I really like it. Couple of interesting facts that I found out about them, and I really love this story because it's really us when we talk about we will push through no matter what happens in our life if we have a commitment.
Talk about the crash.
So on February 9th, 2006, the band's bus tour had an accident on the Trans-Canada Highway just outside Vancouver, and literally it flipped over on its right side. Fortunately, no one was too seriously injured. The driver suffered some major head injuries, but the band went on to perform that night because they knew the show must go on. And that's a bit of a life mantra for us. And we have similar stories that literally, Terry's a DJ for weddings. If something happens to him, the bride doesn't care. It's her wedding day. You have to show up.
Are we going to tell my dad's story?
Yes, and mine, but go ahead.
Okay, so literally, my dad used to DJ with me for about, I'm going to say 25.
Most of the years.
25 years. So my dad, for whatever reason, I don't know why he was on the roof of his house, on the roof of his garage.
Probably cleaning something.
He was doing something. Anyway, the ladder fell out from under him, or it slipped or whatever, and he fell from basically the top of a single-story car garage and hit the ground hitting the concrete, and he broke his collarbone. And this was around 10:30 in the morning on a Saturday. And he literally had my mom bandage him up. He didn't even go to the hospital. He had my mom bandage him up, took some Tylenol. We hired an assistant that was working for me.
That could carry the
equipment. That could carry equipment. And that guy slugged equipment for my dad and carried all of his stuff. And my dad DJ'd some person's wedding up in Orillia. No complaints, no bother, no nothing.
Just did what was required.
Yeah, with a broken collarbone. I mean, props to my dad.
Yeah, absolutely. Shout out to him.
Yeah, it was crazy. And I mean, he didn't say anything and the bride didn't even notice.
No, obviously it's her day. She's not looking at the nobody DJ's said anything. Collarbone.
Nobody, you know, my dad was, I think he just had it in a sling.
Yeah, he did. But I have a similar story. I think I may have shared that last year I had an accident and I shattered my shoulder in three places. And I'm a realtor. And the next day I had a listing appointment. And I went to the listing appointment in my sling on way too much pain medication because the job must get done. And I feel very compelled to provide for my family. The ironic part, and I chuckle about it now, is I didn't get that listing. But to be completely honest, I wouldn't have hired me either. It wasn't my best performance. But man, I have stick with it. I went. I showed up and I gave it my best.
Yeah.
My best wasn't good enough that day. But that's okay. I still tried. And that's really what the moral of the story is. It doesn't matter when you have commitments to make. You need to follow through. And this is a great example going back to what Great Big Sea did. They pushed through and they put on their concert that night, even though they had a traumatic accident that by all accounts, they could have not played that night.
For sure. And I mean, we know people that literally from motocross racing we know a friend that used duct tape to put his hand on.
Yeah, don't try that at home, kids.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I won't get into that, but it's kind of funny.
That's okay.
Actually, that's going to be the word for, we're doing Throwback Thursday tonight.
Right.
Instead of Friday at Hardway. Mm-hmm. We're doing Throwback Thursday at Hardway tonight. And the word of the night is going to be called duct tape.
It's going to be duct tape. So if you come and see Terry I won't be there at 7. Go see Terry.
It's 7.
And if you say duct tape, then you get a Go Italian gift card for $25.
I got two to give away tonight.
You got two tonight?
I do.
Okay, so for two people who come and say duct tape.
Yeah, so thanks to Go Italian again. You guys stacked us up again and loaded us up with more gift cards. So lots more gift cards to give away with Go Italian right now.
Right.
So big shout out to Catherine and to Crystal.
That's right. I have one other fun fact about them and then we'll play the song. And then again, we're going to run short on time. But given that it's election time and there's all sorts of things going on in the world, whether it's U.S. politics or Canadian politics, I find it really interesting that during the Canadian election in 2000, sorry,
yeah.
My notes are covered by a staple. In the year 2000, one of the parties was using the song Ordinary Day, which is a Great Big Sea song, and they got a violation for copyright. Great Big Sea said they could not use their song because it basically made them sound like they were endorsing that particular political party. So I think it's very interesting that they made them cease and desist using their song. I don't know where Great Big Sea stands on the political spectrum, but clearly they weren't going to let that party take a stand on their behalf. So without further ado and less talking, Terry is going to go ahead and play Ordinary Day for you.
Yeah, I'm actually going to play that song. So here we go, guys.
I've got a smile on my face and I've got four walls around me. I've got the sun in the sky, all the water surround me. Oh, you know. Yeah, I win now and sometimes I lose. I've been battered but I never bruise. It's not so bad. And I say, wait, hey, it's just an ordinary day. It's all your state of mind. At the end of the day, you just got to say it's alright. The genie sings on the corner, what keeps her from dying? Let them say what they want, she won't stop trying. But she'll never lie down, it's not so bad. And
I said, wait, hey, hey, it's just an ordinary day, and it's all your state of mind. At the end of the day, you just got to say it's all right. It's all right, it's all right. There's always some sorrow, and it's a double-edged knife, but there's always tomorrow, you know. It's up to you now if you sink or swim. Just keep the faith that your ship will come in. It's not so bad. And I say, wait, hey, hey, it's just an ordinary day, and it's all your state of mind. At the end of the day, you just got to say, I say, wait, hey, hey, it's just an ordinary day, and it's all your state of mind. At the end of the day, you just got to say, it's all right. It's all right, it's all right.
Turn up the fun with Kingston Frontenac Public Library's summer reading programs, free and open to all ages, with the chance to win great prizes like Stanley tumblers, Lululemon bags, gift cards, and a Nintendo Switch. Make this summer one for the books. Register now at kfpl.beanstack.com.
Okay, we're going to have to bring this in for a landing soon, and we've done a lot of talking today, but we're going to go ahead and talk also about where we're going and where we will be this weekend, as well as exciting news for us. We're taking next week as a vacation week. We will be on the air, though, and we're going to talk about the special guest that we're going to have on the air.
I think I did already, but we'll remind you
again. We'll have to do it again, for sure. So we haven't summered yet, and by that I mean we really have only been working all summer, and next week is the last week of summer, so we're not going anywhere in particular, but we do plan to do things that people typically do in the summer, so we're hoping to play golf and play tennis and go to our boat and go bike riding and walk our dog and spend some time by the pool, and we're going out on another friend's boat, and we might go to the U.S. for a day and just kind of relax. So we're going to try not to work as much as that is very difficult for both of us.
Which is funny. You said all of these things, and then at the end you went, and relax. None of those things will be relaxing.
No, we're not really good at that.
Yeah, no,
I know. You also said you want to go to the gym every morning.
I do.
And I want to try not waking up with an alarm. I'm not good at that either. But we were thinking about that. But if you're going to wake me up at 6 to go to the gym, if you're looking for us, we'll be at Planet Fitness at 6 a.m. probably next week.
Oh, at least.
Which is really great. However, what are we doing this weekend? You go ahead because you have a very busy four days
crazy.
Coming up.
So, yeah, normally, like I said, normally I do Friday night at Hardway, but tonight it's Throwback Thursday. We're going to use the word duct tape.
Okay.
That's our special word for tonight. And I'm there tonight. And then tomorrow I'm actually doing a wedding here in town. Pretty excited about it. It's my last one at this venue.
At the Bader?
At the Bader.
Beautiful place.
It is. It's my last one at the Bader for the year, which is kind of cool. I like the Bader, but it's nice. I know you want me to go fast. So, and then I'm in Belleville on Saturday, and Cindy just came in, who's got her show next, and I said I'm excited because I love tent weddings.
Right.
And I really do love tent weddings. And the reason I do is because everyone's all together. The bar's not in a different room.
Right.
Everything's all together. The dance floor is right beside me. I can control the lights of the tent. It's just so much fun. They're probably my best weddings, and they go super long. So I plan on being at this wedding till they kick me out. And I mean, we don't have to return the tent till Monday.
That's why I don't go with you.
I know.
Because you never plan to leave. Yeah. Typically, they will say last song at 1 p.m., and 1 a.m., sorry. And then some people will be, one more song. And I'm grumpy and growling. And Terry's like, sure, I'll make you all happy till 2:30 in the morning. And then I'm mad at Terry.
So I think my
longest. Which is why I don't go to weddings.
Yeah. I think my longest tent wedding ever was I finished at 5. I packed up and we all went for breakfast.
Yeah, I wasn't there.
No, I know.
Because I was probably getting up at 5. Yeah,
it was me and my dad, and right. We literally went for breakfast in Markham somewhere when we were DJing in the GTA one time. But I remember it was a wicked cool event. We played all night under the stars. It was really, really cool.
I was sleeping all night. Yeah. Very happy. And then Sunday, you're helping a friend move.
I am. I'm helping my buddy Steve move.
That's right. We do that as well. And then we're rolling into what is supposed to be vacation week. And I'm going to chase you around for all of that. So I will be with you tonight at Hardway. And I will not be with you for the weddings this weekend because I do have some things that I am doing as well. I'm doing an open house this weekend at a condo. So if anybody is in the condo market, I have one available. Please reach out to me because I would love to sell it for my beautiful sellers.
I would love you to sell it too because then I get new shoes.
Well, that's an inside joke. But yes, apparently Terry believes that every time I sell a house, he has to have new shoes. And so that's our family joke is daddy's getting new shoes when mommy sells a house.
Yeah, yeah. Pair of Vans.
He does like his Vans. He has way too many. However, we are running out of time and you wanted to talk about Sinead O'Connor and play her song. So super quick, top three things you love about Sinead O'Connor. Play the song and we'll talk to you all next week.
So I'm actually not even going to talk about her too much because the song is going to literally not be enough. So
it's going to speak for itself.
It's going to speak for itself. Love Sinead O'Connor. Miss her dearly. Great.
Let's talk about her another time.
Yeah, let's talk about another time, but let's play this song. So we'll close out with this Sinead O'Connor. It's called The Emperor's New Clothes. All right. Hope you guys love this song because I really do.
So you ask for the truth and I